When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What feels like the first real stumble of the 2023-2024 season for the Philadelphia Flyers. More benchings and responses from those benchings. Let's talk about it all right now.
This is the Orange and Backcheck podcast with Bill Kornfeld and Scott Weinhardt.
It is episode 166 of Orange and Backcheck, as always brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook and the Hockey Podcast Network. Use promo code THPN when signing up, and we hope you had a wonderful Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah season, holiday season. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to the 2024 end of the season. And as always, as my books fall in the background, what's going on, Scott Weinhardt?
Hey, man. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Hope it was good. My holiday was great. Nice to see some good hockey over the last week. I know it's been a little bit, the record hasn't quite been there. But, you know, now that we're getting into the post-December, January, teams are knowing where they really are, and who they're starting to be, and where they are. It's starting to see a nice grind-out game the Flyers had the other day, especially after a tough loss the other night against Columbus.
And I was there for Columbus. So I want to lead off with that one, actually. I know the West Coast trip was obviously the thing between our last episode and now. But the Columbus one was a frustrating loss in my eyes because I thought they played well. You obviously jump out to a 2-0 lead. You're playing against this a lesser team than what you are. Columbus is, we talked about it last episode, they're in a fire sale mode. They're going to be selling off pieces for parts in a couple of weeks here as we lead up to the trade deadline. You go up 2-0 and then you blow it in a shootout. Like, I get that you're coming back. Also, it's ridiculous that they come back from a West Coast trip. They had one travel day, and then they had a game that following day on Friday. It's so, or Thursday, whatever it was. It's so frustrating. Like, and I know the excuse that people try and do, well, you were short two forwards in Cam Atkinson and Morgan Frost. Listen, Cam Atkinson is not having a great season. Morgan Frost is having a very up and down season. Who responded very well to that benching on Saturday on Ed Snyder legacy game on Saturday against Calgary. But you can't lose those games. And especially if you're fighting for a real playoff spot, that game against Columbus cannot happen. Like, truly cannot happen. But you're coming off a tough travel coming back from the West Coast. Maybe it's a pass, but losing that point might come back and bite you in the end.
It's not about a pass. It's about those games are going to happen. It's the National Hockey League. Some nights you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it. Some nights you're not going to play well. Some nights you're just going to be terrible. You're going to have a game like you did against Edmonton the other night where your goaltender was excellent. But the thing is that you can't score. Let's take it for instance. You want to talk about the game against Columbus. They had a lead in that game. They blew it, and then they wound up coming back. And at least they got the overtime with it. They got the point. I'd be a little more concerned if the team had been losing games without getting those points, but at least they're taking these games to overtime. At least they're losing in shootouts if they're losing. The key is that this team has not lost more than two in a row in regulation since the end of October, early November. So, yes, they lost back-to-back games against Calgary and Edmonton. I get it. You're on a Western road trip. Sometimes those things happen. But you do come back and get a point. You blew the game a little bit. You blew the lead, but you got a point. And the thing is, at the end of the day, the points are what matters at this point. So, no pun intended. So, while that happens, I'm not overly concerned about that. Those mm-hmm. games are going to happen where, you know, a team's battles back. You get an opportunity to get into the shootout and you can't get it done because you hit a hot goalie or a goalie who's just playing very well. Yeah. So,
And in the past, you kind of looked at the shootout as like, okay, this is an automatic loss. This is the end. They've been playing. That was Ersin's first shootout loss of the season, which is shocking to like just utter and see that is happening. But, yeah, I don't disagree in that sense because you're still collecting the point. But, and I wanted to, this was meant to be for last, but I'll bring it up now. Like, the Metropolitan is so tight. Like, I'm circling that Stadium Series game against the Devils. That might be one of the most important games, and it just happens to be a nationally televised game. That's one of their marquee games being in an outdoor game. In the Stadium Series, like, I can't remember the last time there was actual, the one at the Link against the Flyers and Penguins that had meaning to it. But then even then the Flyers came up short and missed the playoffs after that season.
At the 2010 Winter Classic. Yeah. The 2010 Winter Classic. That was a big game for them because the Flyers were coming out of that slide and, you know, they got up in Fenway. That was a big 2 points for them and getting a point out of that. And another one was even 2012 against the Rangers. That was another one where the points really mattered. And the key is, yes, it's a big venue and a big thing. And I'm trying to get tickets to go. I'm leaning more towards going than staying home. But the key is that it is going to be a really important divisional game because look, you're absolutely right. And we said this from the beginning of the season is that this division is going to be super tight. And it has been super tight. And like, for instance, like the Penguins have climbed back into it a little bit. You know, you have climbing back where, you know, the Islanders are now the first wild card. The Devils are the second wild card. You know, the Flyers are only 8 points back from the Rangers and 3 from the Hurricanes. So, it's certainly tight. And I'm excited to see what happens here.
I totally agree. It's one of those things where. And that's to the why these Columbus game, going back to that, is frustrating because nowadays or at this point in the season, especially I think Money Puck, who I've used for statistical analytics and all that, give the Flyers now a 71% chance of making the playoffs. You have to start considering every one of these, not just Metropolitan games, but you have to consider every one of these Eastern Conference games as 4-point swings. Because of how tight this is. Like I just mentioned, Devils are right there at 44 points, despite having one extra win. And to what you were saying about at least they're getting a point in these losses in overtime or the shootout. But the Lightning are a point out of a wild card spot. Like,
right.
These are tight-knit games, and this is where the lack of... You have veteran leadership, but you don't have... The lack of true talent. TK is on another bender that I don't think we anticipated. He's already at 21 goals through the season, maybe even 22. Right.
Five shorthanded. Yeah. Which is amazing.
By the way, shorthanded versus power play. My God. It's truly night and day. But these games are going to be vitally important. Obviously, they have Pittsburgh coming up on Monday night. That's a 4-point game because Pittsburgh's right on their heels, despite being so old, and they're still nipping at. I think Money Puck had them at a 50% chance, right on the line at 50-50,
of making
the playoffs. I am nervous. The reason I'm very nervous now that 71% chance is now dropped. I think it was at as high as 77 around Christmas. The lack of talent and. The real veteran leader on this team, despite what your thoughts are on Mark Stahl from early in the season, the veteran leadership is going to come down to Tortorella and pushing the right buttons to get this team going. I'm not saying I'm waving the red flag. I still am high on the team to make the playoffs now, especially how they've been playing. But with how tight the Eastern Conference is, particularly the Metropolitan, it's not going to be an easy win or easy road to the playoffs, and that is scary.
No, this is where the character of the team is really going to be built because, and I don't agree with you that it's about Tortorella. I think it's more about guys like Sean Couturier. Mm. It's about guys stepping up like Owen Tippett playing an important role. Cam Atkinson finding a way to get off the schneid and get going again, getting back to what he's doing. There's a lot to say about that. I think that with this team, having these competitive games at this point in the season is great for them because of how important it is. So they're going to be 4-point swings. They're going to have it where you're going to have a thing where, you know, the Penguins could be 2 points out if you drop 2 points against them, but you can spread it a little bit if you get it, because the Penguins have been hot. The Penguins have actually won out of their four out of their last six, really. You know, besides the other night where they lost against Buffalo, they had won 4 out of 5. So they're climbing back there a little bit, and that's where this veteran comes up a little bit. If you look at their record over the past month, there's a lot more W's than L's. So that's the key thing with that.
What also is going to lead this team to the playoffs is the sudden burst in energy that they've gotten from the goalie tandem. I think that's been the highlight of this season and the nice surprise of this season. But before we get to that, as always, this episode of Orange and Backcheck is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Bet the action on the ice all season long with DraftKings Sportsbook. Like I said, you got the Flyers and Penguins coming up. I think you got the Blackhawks later today if you're listening on Sunday. Bet all of it on DraftKings Sportsbook and bet the money line. Download the DraftKings app, Sportsbook app now, and use promo code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5 on hockey. That's promo code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/honky for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023, all rights reserved. I cannot think of a time where in Philadelphia Flyers history where we have said, wow, the goalie is not a huge problem. Especially...
Remove the word huge.
Yeah.
The goalie is not a problem. Yeah,
is not a problem whatsoever.
At all.
And the fact that you have two, Carter Hart and Sam Ersson, and I didn't even notice this. I mean, it's obviously granted because of how this weird illness that Carter Hart was fighting, dating back to when they were out in Seattle on their first West Coast trip with the bad sushi or the bad fish, whatever it was. Then he was dealing with some chronic stuff, which was very odd, but part of the gig, it seemed, and they finally got it figured out. So it's a near split even on games played, 13-11, both goalies posting over 900 save percentages. The only thing that I keep thinking back to, or thinking at this point, is one of them is trade bait. And that's not a bad thing. It's just like when you're a team like the Flyers that are overachieving or achieving, depending on your definition of what your expectations were for this season, that's a natural thing because, like I just said, they're a team that is lacking talent or waiting on talent. And two, they have... every report has indicated, despite the success that we've seen, Danny Briere and Keith Jones are not deviating away from the plan of moving players along, whether that's Sean Walker, Ristolainen, Carter Hart, or Sam Ersson. You're a goalie. You're the goalie of this podcast. What is it just Kim Dillenbaugh is getting these guys playing to their best ability and like reaping the benefits of that?
So it's a two-part answer. So you have to remember this. They were very high on Sam Ersson beforehand. And now that he's playing, he is a professional. He wants to start. So that's a big deal. So if you look at, for instance, okay, Carter Hart. Carter Hart this so far this season is 10-7-3 with a 2.63 and a 912 save percentage. Okay. A little under the 920 But if you look at the last five games, 917, 861, 931, 1,838, that's the save percentages. Edmonton was a bit rough game for him, and it was a rough game against Detroit, but they almost won that game. He's been keeping them in games. He's been, don't look at the stats, look at how what they're doing for the team. Every night, these goaltenders are giving this team an opportunity to win, and that's all you can ask for your goaltender. This is the tricky part where it comes down to, because now you're talking a split. No one has really grabbed the role yet, because you don't really, you're not going to have a true starter in the NHL nowadays. You really needed a 1A and a 1B. There's some guys with, you know, exceptions who are just flat out starters in this league. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury, Connor Hellebuck, you know, a couple other guys throughout the league, Jake Ottinger, those elite guys, Jacob Markstrom, those top level, Thatcher Demko, those top level guys are the guys you're going to start every night. And Carter Hart's one of those guys. Here's the piece, though, that people aren't seeing, is that nobody's being handed anything. Carter Hart's now a veteran. So that, regardless of what you want to believe or not, yeah, he's a young guy and everything, but he is a veteran. I mean, he will be 26 years old in August. So he's a veteran.
We've literally seen this kid grow before our eyes because of what happened after Hextall was fired. Like, it's crazy.
Exactly. He's 5 wins away from 100 wins as a Flyer. So that's
which cements him as one of the best goalies in Flyers history based on wins, because of how many goalies that they have had. He's already like 6th or 7th in all time.
I think he's 4th. Yeah. He's 4th all time. He's 4th. Oh my God. He's already 4th all time. He just passed Steve Mason. And Steve Mason was here for 5 years. Yeah. So he just passed Mason, and now you're going to go with it where he's played, I think Ron Hextall like 200 wins, 200 something wins as a Flyer. He's a ways away from that. But now with Carter Hart, you have some decisions to make, because his contract is coming up. And now you have where, according to our buddy Anthony Sanfilippo, the Flyers are very, very high on Ersin and view him as the guy to take him to the next level. But at the same time, Carter Hart, when you have a good goaltender like Carter Hart, you're in a situation like Montreal was about a little over a decade ago with Carey Price and Yaroslav Halak. Now, I can go in and do a whole dissertation and breakdown of which one I prefer. I've seen a lot of improvement out of Carter Hart's game because he's playing with his hands down more. He's playing more of the blocking. The experience factor is a lot of that. Sam Ersin is very, very good in tight position, because he's low, he's wide, he takes up a lot of net down low. His positioning down low is fantastic. That's why you rarely ever see him get beat in tight, which is why one of the reasons he's so good at shootouts. I have a little concern just where he needs to improve. Shots from afar usually can evade Ersin because of the way he plays. He needs to get better there. But Carter Hart used to have problems underneath under his arms, but they seem to be addressed. This is the issue that I think the Flyers are really going to have to ask themselves. Yes, Sam Ersin is playing, I would say, honestly, if you look at his game log, if you look at his stats game by game, if you take out the first three games, because his save percentage for the season is .904. Mm-hmm. Okay. It doesn't seem that crazy, but look at over the last 6 games. Okay. Over the last 6 games, he posted a shutout on December 16th against Detroit. So that's a 1,000 save percentage. Then a 923, a 900, a 947, a 906, and a 929. Those are elite numbers. Okay, and one of them was a loss. The 906 was still a loss against Calgary, and he still played very well. Carter Hart, if you look at his game log, now he's had some things there where Ersin's had a chance to play with that, and because of the illness he's had and stuff like that, Carter Hart still had excellent numbers. If you look back from December 4th, he had a 969, a 962, a 947, 838 against Detroit, which he almost won that game, a 1,000, which is a shutout against Vancouver, and then a 931, 861 against Edmonton, and a 917 yesterday against Calgary. So those are also elite numbers, okay? You basically have two goaltenders as of right now who are playing at an elite level, because you have two guys who are pushing each other for starts. Carter Hart a little bit because it was the injury and sickness and stuff like that. But Sam Ersin's been there, and he's been, ever since after he got over that hump of those first three games, They stuck with him. They didn't panic. He kept going. And now you have you're in a great position. It's a great problem to have two good goalies.
Yeah.
And now with Carter Hart, because you have Ersson locked up, I believe, for 2 more years. But Carter Hart, after this season, is an RFA, is a restricted free agent. And he's gonna tender for a pretty decent offer. So now that he's gonna be 26, he's 1 year away from UFA. So the question is going to come down to this, is because the way the cap is going to be changing after next season, is he going to want a short-term deal, or are you going to have him willing to set up for a long-term deal? This is a very precarious situation for the Flyers right now, because you really have to think of the future here. Is Carter Hart going to be the guy that you want in goal when this team is ready to compete for a Stanley Cup, or is Sam Ersson that guy? And the reason why is that when do you think it's going to be? Because if you think it's going to be 3 years down the line, you might want to think Carter Hart. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of teams right now that will pony up a lot of assets for a guy like Sam Ersson, a younger guy. He's only 23 years old. There are a lot of teams will pony up for that, because he's 24. He just turned 24. There's a lot of teams that'll pony up for a 24-year-old goaltender that's playing at an elite level right now, and you can get a lot of assets for that. You could talk about Carter Hart to Edmonton, or with the whole Hockey Canada thing that happened, you know, there's some questions there, but you could talk to Edmonton. But then it comes down to assets. What could Edmonton offer you that's really worth it? Not just a first-round draft. Carter Hart, a good goaltender, a great starting goaltender, an elite starting goaltender with those numbers in the NHL, commands a lot of assets.
Honestly, because Carter is an RFA this coming offseason, unless something blows you away at the trade deadline this season, this particular season, honestly, I don't think they're in a rush to move either of these guys. Not just because of Sam Ersson being under contract for the next 3 years because he's on an ELC, but like, you're not in a rush, because why would you be in a rush? You're not in a situation where either goalie has the stats are elite, as you just said. But neither of them has established as a true number one starter. Like you said, they're number one and number 1A and 1B. Ideally, I would not be shocked if, like, let's just see how the offseason plays out. Let Carter Hart become an RFA. And if someone like Edmonton gives him a qualifying offer, then you recoup X amount of draft picks, first round draft picks under the CBA of the Flyers, or under the CBA, the RFA rules, and a team that wants draft picks, let them go. Like, I think that might be what they're looking at. Like, yeah, like you said, it's not just about draft, what you want draft picks, but you would get quite a few over the next couple of seasons.
You would get, I believe it's 5 first round draft picks, mm-hmm, for an RFA.
It all depends. I always forget what the qualifying. It comes down to numbers and years, like it, because the Flyers back in the day when they made that monster qualifying offer to Shea Weber,
right,
it was like 7 first round picks or 6 first round. It was something absurd, and obviously Nashville matched it, and that was the end of it. But obviously, that's the biggest one that comes to mind, because that was monstrous, absolutely monstrous.
No, if you want to go back and kind of reminisce the Shea Weber deal, the idea was that they tried to work out a trade in the background. Mm-hmm. So they were going to sign Shea Weber to that 14-year, $110 million deal, wherever it was. Shame he was never a Flyer. He was born to be a Flyer, Shea Weber. But with that, they tried to – the whole idea was that they were trying to trade the Nashville wanted Braden and Luke Shen. The Flyers weren't willing to give it up at that time.
At that point, yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. A heartbeat. Would have done it a heartbeat. But at the time, they didn't want to give that much up for that. Because, again, you are giving up a lot of cap space, and that was part of it as well. But the key is that if you look at this – that was the whole deal, that why that didn't quite work out. The thing is, though, is that really the how they work out with the offer sheets is that they can sign the offer sheet. Like if Carter Hart signed an offer sheet with Edmonton, it'll really come down to the annual average annual value. So like, for instance, like if it's like anywhere from like, you know, roughly, you know, it's going to be right for Carter Hart to do that. It's going to be a high number. The question is, Edmonton's already got problems. Is goaltending going to solve what they need? No, they have problems. They had the Barry Jack Campbell's contract in the AHL. Stuart Skinner, they're big on, and you know, he's the guy who's been holding them above water. Are you going to sign him and throw Carter Hart $6.5 million? Because then you have to give up a first, second, a third round pick, and then anything over $10 million is the 4 first round picks.
Right.
So the Flyers are looking at it and say, is that the value that we want for Carter Hart? So that's the key. What's more value, having him under contract or having him getting a first, second, and third? Because I don't think that's enough value for a starting goaltender in the NHL, an elite starting goaltender in the NHL. So if you look at, for instance, now Sam Ersson's got a contract where he's got the extension for 2 years, 24, 25, 25, 26, where his annual value is, it's like 1.45.
Yeah,
a million and a half.
Yeah.
That's backup money.
Yeah.
So but that's when the cap also is going to be changing. I think the Flyers have a very, very good, because he's also going to be in ELC. So he'll be 4. So he won't even be close to where he's going to get the UFA status, because you need seven accumulated years. With Carter Hart, he's 1 year away from that. You're going to have to buy out a lot of UFA years. So he's going to demand him a lot of money on the cap. There's a lot of questions. It's not so much just having the goaltender. It's having that, okay, they trust Sam Ersson. Sam Ersson is proving himself so far, but it's a small sample size, because you don't want to run in the situation where you think that you're ready to compete, and next thing you know, you're taking a step back like Carter Hart did in 2021 and 21-22.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just the team was bad. It's that Carter Hart himself took a step back.
Right.
So that's the key that people need to figure out.
This is where I actually lean towards ride it out with Carter Hart, because of what he bounced back from after that season. Like, I remember us talking about it. Like, is this a huge concern? Obviously, there was no Sam Ersson to talk about. We were still anticipating Ivan Fedotov to come over before that mm-hmm. whole fiasco occurred. So, like, the fact that he bounced back from that, you know, he was a veteran before he was a veteran, basically. He had the mindset. He had the sports psychologist and all that that we've talked about endlessly till the cows come home. Like, why I lean, despite how well Sam Ersson is playing, I lean towards you sign Carter Hart, see what happens. The problem is you don't know what Carter Hart is thinking. And we've said it time and time again, every time we have this discussion, we also don't know what the F is going on with Hockey Canada. And despite what we've been continuously told of it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it hasn't come. And it's really frustrating, because I'm sure on the inside, players know. I tend to think that Carter Hart's in the clear on this, because I think something would have come out at this point. But you never know until something is out there. I think this is a clear-cut sign him. 3-4 years, see what happens, try and get it as team friendly as possible, especially with that cap going up in the next couple of seasons. And if you realize that he's not the guy, and Sam Ersson continues to develop over these next 2 years in his ELC contract, then he becomes trade bait, because Carter Hart is a wanted commodity out there. Like, even if he plays less than what he is now, someone is going to take him. And it's just a matter of who. So I don't know. Like, maybe it's homerism bias. Maybe it's just watching how this kid has taken the reins of being the Flyers goalie by storm since he was called up in December of 18, I believe, or maybe it was 19. Like, I just have this thing for Carter Hart where I just want to see him be the second or third guy being handed the cup by Scott Laughton at the end of this whole rebuild. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me being biased and all that.
No, because Bill, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm in the same boat. I think that letting go Carter Hart, because here's the teams are going. Let me take a step back before I go into my argument here. Teams are going to take a look at this from a perspective of what's his value. He's going to be around Connor Hellebuyck money. So, like, if you're looking at this, I got to look at Connor Hellebuck's contract. So, if you look at Connor Hellebuck, his contract, he signed a 7-year contract, $8.5 million a season. So, that's going to put them in the range of, for instance, if, like, Edmonton does that. Edmonton doesn't have the assets to do that. So, like, if they sign him to an offer sheet at $8.5 million, they don't have a first, second, and third. The league is going to look at Carter Hart. Okay, you're looking at a first, second, and third round pick. Okay, that's what the league is looking at that. But teams really know when you start negotiating against each other, that's the starting point. Like, you know, teams are going to say, like, yeah, we'll pony up more. We need a goalie. This, we think we're close. We need a goalie to get us over the top. This is what we think. This is the guy that's going to do it. They're going to pony up a little bit more. They're not going to blow their roster up, but they will give up a lot of future assets. And if they blow it all in one player, and guess what? They wind up, they hit one too many and they have to fold and they go back down to the tank, then that benefits the Flyers. But you can't gamble on that. So that's one perspective of saying, okay, it's a gamble to say, what if, what could be, and we know what we have now. The flip side of this is the argument I further believe is that the Flyers have a 25-year-old goaltender. They have a 25-year-old goaltender that's elite, 26. Most goalies don't even hit their prime until like they're 26, 27, 28, and they have usually a 4 or 5 year run where they're at the top of their game. Carter Hart's right around the road from that, and we might be seeing the start of it now. We might be seeing the start where he's starting to really hit his stride in the elite piece of his game. If I'm the Flyers, I'm locking him up. I'm locking him up long-term. I'm locking him up to a 7-year deal, 8-year deal. I'm locking him up to an 8-year deal because here's the key. If you lock him up to an 8-year deal now, he's out of it at 33, 34. Okay. So you're not talking about late 30s deal or something. You're talking about, okay, at that point, he's probably on the back nine. Now, I think that with Carter Hart, you've spent a lot of time on this goaltender. This goaltender is familiar. You know what he does, you know what he's capable of. My only concern about Carter Hart is just like we've seen recently, the illness, the injuries, and stuff like that. You always have to have that there. So you have to have something, a plan B. Now, you can go get another goaltender, and you have plenty of goaltenders in your system. So that's the thing is, like, you know, you have Connor Bjornsson. You're going to have a lot of these guys. They believe in Sam Ersson, but there's going to be a team that's going to pony up for a guy like Sam Ersson because he's younger and say, hey, look, and then we want to gamble on this guy. We've seen what he can do. He's a lot cheaper for us. We'll give you a lot more because of the cap implications and cheaper for that. I don't want to tie up the whole cap on Carter Hart. But I think when it comes to goaltending, and again, I will say this simply because I'm a goaltender, I am completely biased, but there's legitimate argument too. When you have a legitimate goaltender that is elite, they are harder to find the top line elite centers. They are harder to find because there's a lot of average and below average goaltending in the league, and there's a lot of flashes in the pans. Carter Hart is not a flash in the pan. Carter Hart is an elite NHL goaltender, okay? Borderline elite NHL goaltender. If people don't believe he is, he's very, very close to becoming that. And will be in the next couple of years if he hasn't already from what we've seen. And he has a guy pushing him from behind for starts. And that's going to be a big deal because it's going to drive him even further. Like, I want to be here. I want to do it. I want to earn that contract.
Sharpens iron. That's really what it comes down to.
Yep.
That's truly what it comes down to in this scenario.
Lock him up, man. Lock him up. Don't lose a goaltender. Don't make the mistake. Don't trade away another Sergei Bobrovsky. Don't get rid of another Sergei Bobrovsky. Get the prime out of it. Use those years. Get his prime years.
Yeah.
You've gone through the struggles. Now reap the rewards.
Don't waste this just because you have assets to. Don't trade just to trade, basically. Unless something absolutely blows you away where you're not just getting picks, you're getting substantial established players that you also have to factor in. They have to be a player that you know will buy into the Tort system. And that is also the huge factor because at this point, you have to factor that in. You don't know how long Torts has. He has already said in his introductory press conference, this is it for him. No matter what the case is, whether he's let go, retires, whatever, this is it. So you have to factor that in. So this is a rare instance on the Orange Back Jet podcast where we're pretty much in lockstep on where they have to go for the future of the Flyers, especially at the goalie, which is a very obviously important thing. Before we wrap, I want to hit – go ahead.
And I was saying, and here's the thing, too, that people don't realize, and fans can look at this and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, Sam Ersson's playing good. He's playing elite, too. Why can't we just go with Sam Ersson? There's two factors to that. First of all, and this is not a slight against Sam Hurston, so please don't say what I'm about to say this. I don't trust Sam Hurston yet. I don't trust him. Right. I have not seen enough of Sam Hurston. And what I mean by enough is that people, and the comeback will be, well, why not? He's playing elite. You just said he's playing elite. His numbers have been great. Yes, this is his first full season in the NHL. Let me see this over two, over 3 years. And I think the benefit the Flyers have here is that Sam Hurston is locked up for two more years after that and will still be under team control. So even if it's 2 years from now, and they decide at that point, okay, you know what? Sam Hurston, he's coming up on this. You know, he's got a contract, expiring contract. He's RFA. A team can retain his rights, and the cap has gone up. You want to talk about value? You want to talk about value? That Sam Hurston will be more valuable in 2 years from now than right now, especially if you lock up Carter Hart. And people say, oh, you have no choice but to trade him because he doesn't want to play for you. He won't have a choice because he's an RFA. So, and they'll give him a qualifying offer. And with the cap going up, his number will go up and it'll all work out. The pieces that I'm trying to make a point is goaltending is the most critical piece of winning a Stanley Cup. And look, we can make an argument. Okay, well, Adin Hill just won a Stanley Cup. Who was he? Darcy Kuemper won the year before that. Who was he? Okay, those were final pieces to the puzzle. Those are teams that didn't have goaltending and filled pieces in to get there because they had the team to be able to make up for it. But when you build from back to front, like you did basically in Tampa, where you build your goaltending, your defense, and then you had your offense that came later on, that's how you build long-term success, not a one-and-done kind of – because look at Colorado now. Colorado has Alexander Georgiev and Pavel Francouz, and guess what? They're not doing anything because Georgiev is an average goalie at best, okay? Look at Vegas, okay? Adin Hill is a good goalie, all right? I'll admit it now. I was a little low on him. He's good. Adin Hill is not going to give you the playoff success that you did last year before because, I mean, you know, you have Logan Thompson there as well. They're revolving the door there a little bit. When you have sustainability and you have long-term success, look how, yes, the Montreal Canadiens did not win a Stanley Cup. Go back and look how many times the Canadiens had made the playoffs and made deep runs into the playoffs with Carey Price in between the pipes. Okay. How many times did the Rangers do that with Henrik Lundqvist between the pipes? How many times did the Devils do that with Martin Brodeur between the pipes? How many times did the Penguins do that with Marc-Andre Fleury between the pipes? You need a perfect example, a nun who never won as a starter, won as a backup. All right. Tuukka Rask for the Boston Bruins. Okay. Elite. You want to make a comparison to Carter Hart? That's Tuukka Rask right there. Cause Tuukka Rask was one of those underrated elite goalies I've ever seen play. Okay. But you know, locally people were on him because he just, oh man, he can't win it. He can't win the big game. Yep. But how many times did he make the playoffs? How many times he carried that team deep in the playoffs? That's where you get sustained success, not one and duns. And if you want one and duns, okay, you can look at the Philadelphia Eagles and Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson back in 2018, okay, where they've been since. They've had a little turnover there. And I'm not comparing apples to oranges, but that's my point. Do you want that, or do you want sustained success like these other cities have had and teams had for a long time? That's what you're looking for.
And that's what Danny Briere and Keith Jones are building. They're building sustainability of what we've been missing here for the Flyers particularly and specifically. Yep. So, yeah, great episode. I think quick hits that I wanted to cover. One of the best things that the Flyers have leaned into ever since they started the transition last season and then brought in Danny Briere and company. What makes the Flyers is nights or days like yesterday afternoon on Saturday for the Ed Snyder legacy game. Didn't even realize that it was also his birthday. Would have been his 91st birthday. Fans showed out. I was there for the Columbus game on Thursday, like I said. Fans are starting to really buy in, and that's great to see. And yeah, on days like Saturday where they got out a win, it was the chippiest game of the season, it felt like. I can't remember how. One, it was Calgary, so you don't really anticipate it to be that chippy. Fight at the end. TK with just an incredible line. I forget who the player was on Calgary just going, dude, you're a fucking pussy during the end of it. Like, just a great, what felt like Flyers hockey again. I love days like Ed Snyder legacy games, and I hope to continue.
They were waving bye to him yesterday. He was waving bye at the end of the game. Yeah. Bye, yeah. Guy. Get out of here. See ya. Bye. Cannot wait. Yep. Talking trash.
Continue to see those kind of games really puts the perspective of what Flyers hockey and the organization was and is, and despite what we've been complaining about, they have readjusted and they've made it. So I can't wait for that to continue and see where it goes. And the other thing was, we didn't talk about it because no one gave a shit about it. The Winter Classic was another bust because why are we doing two expansion teams that don't have real fan bases yet? I understand that Vegas is the defending Stanley Cup champions, but no one gives a shit about the Seattle Kraken yet. What are we doing, NHL? Please get your shit together.
It was a snooze fest too. It was the first shutout in Winter Classic. It was a snooze fest. I watched two periods of that game, and roughly two periods of that game, and I'm like, this is just not good hockey. It wasn't great hockey. It just wasn't exciting enough. There was a couple saves that were made, but nothing crazy. Yeah. It just and that's we've talked about in the past about it being watered down in a little bit. You got to get the Winter Classic is the spectacle, the art. I know they want to get it everywhere, but this is the problem. When you have on a national stage the two expansion teams, nobody's going to watch. Yeah. Sorry. You want asses in seats? You put rivalries. For instance, what the NFL is doing tonight, the NFL is putting the AFC East division on the line, flexed it to Sunday night between the Bills and the Dolphins, okay, a rivalry game. And I'll tell you what, I'm not even invested in either of those two teams, and I'm going to be glued to that.
Yep.
I'll be glued to it because I'm like, that's a game I want to watch.
And I don't even think I'm sure there's a concurrent NHL game at that exact time. Obviously, it's a little different because
Ducks and Red Wings.
Yeah. Yep. At 8:00.
Yeah.
I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
It's the Ducks and Red Wings. Who gives a crap? All right. So that'll be fun. Get your shit together, NHL. We've been asking for this for the better part of 4 years that we've been doing this podcast, and you still aren't listening. That's fine. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Orange Back Check podcast. What are your thoughts? Is it Urson or Hart? Hart or Urson? What do you think? OrangeBackCheck@gmail.com. Make sure you shoot a subscribe. Give us a shout out. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or X, whatever you want to call me. Sorry, Elon. I will never call your stupid company X. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and all that good stuff. Orange and Back Check podcast. Thank you, as always. And until next time, go Flyers and go Birds.
Yeah, go Birds.